Welcome to Alert and Oriented, conversations about God between friends. Join Gary Barkalow and Sam Williamson as we talk about real life with the real God, really.
When I was 30 years old, maybe, you know, just before COVID, I was at a prayer meeting with a bunch of people who were very, very close friends. We were in a prayer group. We called it a community because a lot of us lived near each other. Sometimes we lived in each other's houses. We sometimes shared finances. I mean, it was really a very close-knit community. And after one of our prayer meetings, a friend, a guy I knew, asked a few of us just to pray over him for some things going on in his life. And as we were praying over him, I just distinctly felt a sense from the Lord saying, if this man left the community, no one would really notice, and all would continue without him as though he had never been a member. His unique gifting was never appreciated by people, and that is a tragedy. That's the sense I got. If he left, no one would notice, it would continue without him, and that's a tragedy. And now, I didn't share this with the man, you know, he already had some issues going on, but I really felt like a conviction and an invitation from God in that moment to say, there was something that wasn't operating right in our community in that we weren't appreciating what God had uniquely given him to give. And I feel like it awoke something in me about calling. Now, it wasn't the words that I used. I felt like his unique gifting wasn't appreciated, but I think it was his unique calling that wasn't appreciated. And I began to think long and hard about what is the nature of a community of God's people, and how does that relate to each person offering their unique, special, God-given calling? And first, what is your reaction to that story?
Well, you know, I think it was just the kindness of God to kind of speak that to you because, you know, to you speak in his life, because evidently God was saying he's not going to be missed. And he's, my impression is he's going to expect this, right? No one's going to notice my absence. And therefore, if that's true of any of us, we think that we are not going to bring who we are, what God has given us to other people, because, well, what does it matter? So I am really taken by that. Also with the idea that that, you know, my calling will never be fully realized without the callings of other people. That being alone without your calling, Sam, and others in my life, mine will never fully develop. I probably will never fully discover it, let alone develop it and offer it. So I just think that is so incredibly important.
What is the tagline of the Noble Heart? It's realizing, help me out this.
Yeah, helping people realize the life they have been given by God that brings life to others.
So I love our calling, even though I keep forgetting the phrase. We realize, which means we enact, we put into action the life God has uniquely given us. But part of that life, a key part of that is that life in us is bringing life to other people. That calling in us is bringing life to other people. And if somehow we weren't helping this man bring his calling to the community and to my life, then my life was for the worse. It was weakened in some ways. I wasn't because I wasn't able to receive from him what God was uniquely granting through that man's life. I mean, I feel like God saying, and that's a tragedy, was a great way to say it. It was a tragedy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was this man's fault. I don't blame him at all.
Right. And I do think that part of the downside, the damage of our time and culture today is that we can live very isolated, but think that we're touching many lives. In other words, if I feel like God has put a message on my heart, I could reach thousands with it, with the message, but never really talk to a person personally. I mean, I can blog, I can write, I can do podcasts, I can do all sorts of things and never really mingle with another person. And so I think we can deceptively think, oh, I'm touching a lot of lives. I'm not isolated. When in reality we are. I mean, there's something different about being with people. I don't know how we can understand or start to realize or appreciate that God has given us something that others need, if we are not with others and feeling their pain and their vulnerability and their confusion and their fears, I just think there has to be personal, you know, community with people, not simply, you know, friends on Facebook sort of thing.
Well, I would go maybe one step further, maybe it's one step closer, I don't know, but that in a certain sense, I don't know that we can find our own calling without community. Because Gary, you and I have done hundreds of retreats on calling. We've talked to individual people about it. And one of the things that always amazes me is the thing that's obvious about that person's calling is never obvious to them or rarely obvious to them. Either they're so inside their own lives, they don't see the value value of that contribution, or it just seems so normal, or it seems so blasé. But outside their life, we can say, Gary, when you say this, it touches people. And you say, well, I don't know about that, you know. But there's a real way. I need your affirming, and in a certain sense, you're nurturing the calling in my life. You need it from me, and we both need it from other people, and they need it from us. I really believe people will not fully realize their calling without the input, without the affirmation, without the honing, just without the encouragement of other people who see it in us and say, I want to water that and nurture it and call it into being.
Right. Yes, 100%. And yet we live in a time with all of the personality test indicators, assessments, all of these things, that it gives us the impression we can self-assess accurately. When in reality, I don't think we can. You know, we'll never completely understand who we are without others speaking into us and seeing things that we don't see. I don't think there's any true isolated self-revelation, really. I think we do need others. And, you know, I'm thinking, Sam, of the times you said this to me and some others where they will say something like, you know, Gary, you always talk about that, right? It makes me realize, yeah, I do. That's kind of where I always go to. Or, you know, you always go there. Or you always pick up on that. Or, you know, you really care about that, don't you? And it's those sentences that may sound trite, but when I hear that, I go, oh my goodness, somebody sees something in me that, as you said, I've normalized and don't think much about it. And yet you're saying, no, it's more than normal. It really is who you are. And we need that. I mean, that's been some of the greatest confirmations and validations of what I think my calling, my God-given effect is. It's come from others in ways like that.
It is, you know, you and I just did a retreat 6 weeks ago on friendship. And I think I was amazed at how many men wanted to hear about friendship, wanted to talk about friendship and how important it was to them. And as I was talking to other people about it afterward, I heard a bunch of women saying, it's just as important to us, Sam. It's not just the men. You know, we really need friendship. But a key part of that friendship, I believe, is God-given. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God keeps saying, you know, he separated, you know, he made night and day, and it was good. He separated the water from the dry land, and it was good. And he made the crops, and it was good. And then he says, it is not good that man is alone. So obviously God hadn't made a mistake. He was saying, I want humanity to understand the importance of community. And I think it's in everything. You know, I love the story of Paul, who finally gets converted, right? You know, he's killing God's people. Jesus himself shows up, you know, a post-resurrection appearance, a post-ascension appearance. Jesus speaks to Paul and says, you're persecuting me. And he tells him some things. And then he says, now I want you to go into Damascus and talk to Ananias, and he's going to tell you even more. You know, it's like Paul couldn't find his calling. Jesus could have told him. You know, Jesus could have said, here's everything. Here's what your life is. Here's what your calling is. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus says, I want you to go talk to Ananias, and he's going to tell you more. It's part of its nature. I believe in Christian community, which is church, and there's other Christian communities, but it's for us. I think God is, it's a way of God encouraging, nurturing friendship, saying community, even in calling. He's saying, I really want community among my people. As you said, it's not one person just doing stuff on the blogs into the blogosphere. It's one-on-one, life on life.
Right. And yeah, I mean, Sam, you and I have heard people say, you know, I just need God. That's all I need. And yet God says, yes, and I'm living in others is my way of coming to you and revealing to you. You know, I was thinking about the, you know, the all the verses about the one another verses, and even Jesus praying that we would be one. And I thought, you know, Jesus saying this is, as you're saying, is absolutely necessary that we have deep friendship community with others so that we will know who we are and this place that we have in the kingdom in this world, this time. It's not simply dad saying, hey, kids, you need to act like a family and not embarrass your father. You know, it's not that. It's more. It's in our design.
And the whole, you know, and the metaphor God uses is a body, you know, and it's so closely connected. And I think even in calling where Paul says, you know, the hand can't say to the foot. Now, I don't think Paul is saying your job is to figure out if you're a hand or a foot. You know, I think the body itself realizes what your gifting and what your calling is in the body. And it's more than just the spiritual gifts. It's more than just the gift of evangelism or the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching. I think calling has to be the whole nature of who God has made us uniquely to be, which includes the gifts, but it isn't exactly limited by the gifts. You know, I've told you so many times that my grandfather, my father, and my brother were pastors. And if you just used their title pastor, you'd say, okay, their calling was to be a pastor. But if you actually looked at the way they operated in their lives, they each operated very differently. You know, they, if you looked at what they did on a day-to-day basis, it was very different. So it, our calling can't just be the gifts. Our calling is the way God has asked us to be ourselves in the middle of a body, not just by ourselves. To be, right. To be the hand, the foot, the finger, the mouth, the nose, the eyes, the chest. I mean, God wants us to deploy our calling in the sacred body.
Right. You know, and I wonder if we forget that because, you know, we have so operated on this idea of, you know, the celebrity pastor, the celebrity speaker, the celebrity writer. And we start to think, well, they have a calling I don't. And we are here to simply make sure that they can continue on in their calling by supporting them or whatever it needs to be done, versus we are all the body. They are an equal part of the body, no more and no less. And we are no more and no less. So I think we just, I think it's just easy to forget that, you know, instead of understanding the value and the need of the body of Christ. You know, I was thinking too that the body, our community really is the training ground for our gifting, for who we are. You know, it's really, it is supposed to be a safe place, you know, where we can experiment, learn, try. I mean, you talk so much about this in the Hearing God conference, especially on the session of Hearing God for Others. It's supposed to be a safe place where we try to exercise the life of Christ in us to others. And we need each other to do that, you know, because that's where we will get feedback as to what is good and what isn't. So again, yeah, it's just so important, this idea of community, in order to discover and develop our calling.
And I think one of the ways God guides us is, you know, obviously through other people. He's arranging circumstances. He brings us into other people's lives. Very often we're asking for an answer from God. We're asking for guidance from God. And so often God's answer is a person. It's not just a message. It's a person. God brings these people into our lives. And so, you know, as we're members of a community, as we're members of a church, and we're looking for guidance, we're looking for direction, we're looking for vision. Very often God's guidance, direction, vision isn't do this, do that. Here are your three principles. Very often God brings a person, and God's saying, the gifting I have for this person should change the nature of who you are, because I brought this person and all the complexity that that person involves. God has brought this person, and that person should change the way we are. I think I've told you, when when I was younger, I had a friend named Mark, and we used to take puzzles, not 500 piece puzzles, but maybe 100 piece puzzles. I don't remember. We'd flip it face down and we'd assemble the puzzle pieces. And then we'd flip it over to see what the picture was. And I feel like sometimes as we're looking for a picture of who we are as a body, God is saying, look at all these puzzle pieces I've given you. How are they meant to fit into the body? Because that should paint the picture of who you are.
So, Sam, why do you think we may not quickly think about, that we will discover our calling, who we are, what we have to offer uniquely that God has given us? We don't think first of, you know, being around other believers to do this, or why do we avoid it? What do you think that's about? Because I find that most people don't think about the discovery of their calling with other people. I mean, we kind of create it in the calling retreat. We do create it in the calling retreat, but otherwise, I just don't see that much. What is your inclination of why that probably is?
Good question. I think that partly our society moved from being natural communities. You know, for all of society, people lived in farming societies. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew who, you know, the dairy farmer was, and they knew who the horseshoer guy was. What's that called? Anyway, and everybody was a community, and it was a natural thing, and people learned to be who they were. In our current society, we're just not. I mean, you know, when I grew up, everybody in my neighborhood knew each other. This is not that many decades ago, but I could be three blocks from home and some mother would say, Sam Williamson, you better stop doing that or I'm going to call your mother. And she would, you know, but we don't do that. I mean, I can be three houses away and they don't know who I am. And so there's a certain way we've all become isolated just because of the transitory nature of our jobs and our communities. And I think we've just forgotten to learn. We've forgotten how to become ourselves through the nature of the observations of older people, wiser people, community people. I think that's my first answer, is to say we've just forgotten how to be a community. And as a result, we give the job to specialists. We hire the specialist pastor, the specialist worship leader, the specialist. And then we all think, well, I can't preach as well as they can. I can't play guitar as well as they can, you know? And so all of a sudden these jobs are given to specialists and we think there's no place for me.
Right. I think that's definitely one of them as well. And I think the other maybe is because so many of us have experienced some sort of abuse is a strong word, neglect, mishandling of our hearts. Maybe that's the best way to say it, you know? Mm-hmm. Whether we are ignored, you know, we offer and we're criticized for the offer, or they turn their back on it and we think, I'll never do that again, you know. And so we're just fearful, you know, to be with a group of people and say, I'm really wondering what God has put in me uniquely that I'm to offer to you and other people. We're afraid of what somebody will do with that. Or they may insist it's something that we are not. You know, and then we have all the guilt of not being what they're saying we're supposed to be. I just think somewhere in there is fear, you know, versus hope of being with a group of people where they can speak to that. Larry Crabb, you know, one of his books called Connecting, I really like this. He said, connecting occurs when the life of Christ in me touches the life of Christ in you. We know we have connected when our urges to do good have been strengthened by our time together. And you know, you and I have had times like that. We've had it with a few others where you just walk away and you go, I am just excited, you know, to touch the lives of others and to explore and develop what I think God has given me to give to other people. And, you know, but I think so few of us have ever tasted that we don't have any hope that that would be true. We've just tasted something negative, you know, maybe abusive, hurtful. And so we stay away from community, from friendships.
So read that quote again.
Connecting occurs when the life of Christ in me touches the life of Christ in you. We know we have connected with our when our urges to do good have been strengthened by our time together.
So one of the things I like about our podcast is the subtitle is Conversations About God Among Friends. And when you and I do these podcasts, we have not sat down and scripted for each other what we're doing.
Right.
But this is the kind of conversation we have throughout the week. And we just happen to record one. And we pick a topic, we're talking about it. But I walk out of this right now, and I want to help build a calling-driven community. I mean, you know, I think our discussion increases this urge to do good, which is to bring a calling-driven community. Think if a church could say, we are a calling-driven community, come here, and part of our job is to help you become the person you're meant to be. Part of our job is we want to help you be the person you not only discover, but we want to help you deploy it. And we want to help you bring it to the world. I mean, people are longing for this, and they're not finding it in the churches, but I think the church is the ideal place to do it, and other communities. I'm not just restricting that, but the discussions you and I have personally and the ones on the podcast always make, I think, increase my desire to do good.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, think anyone listening to this, if you think back at conversations you had where you go, man, I'd like to have that again. I'd like to make that happen again. And sometimes when we try to make it happen, it doesn't. And then we go back to discouragement and, you know, disappointment. But that's probably what happened in those. We just came out going, I just want to be more of who God made me to be now. Yeah, I just think alone, there's such a great chance when we are not with other people, there's such a great chance that we will misunderstand, misinterpret, misdirect our calling, who we really are. And as you were saying, Sam, it's conversations like this that I get excited again. I learn more from our conversations about who I am and what I should and shouldn't be doing with what I do know at this point. If community, as you're saying, if community is around that, everybody'd want to be in one, you know?
They would.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's two other obstacles. As you're talking, two other obstacles come to mind about why we don't see people learning, discovering and deploying their calling in community. And one is, I think that sometimes organizations say, Gary, will you be an usher? Gary, will you be a Sunday school teacher? Gary, will you be on the AV team? And the church may think I'm helping Gary do their calling. I think that isn't always the calling. It's just a job. You know, when I first went to our church that we helped start, we were meeting in a school building, and every single person was on the chair setup team. The pastor was, the elders were, the worship team leaders were. You know, we all took turns. But I liked the fact that in some ways, we didn't associate with our calling. I love my life, my wife. I love having our marriage, but I also take the trash out. That's part of our life together, you know, and it's just fine for that. So on one hand, I think that we give people some assignments in a church and we say, that's the calling. And I don't think that is. I think that's the equivalent of there's just work we have to do to maintain a life together. On the other hand, I've met people who say, well, I can't take the chairs. I can't set up chairs because that's not my calling. You know, so on one hand, we limit people to setting up chairs. On the other hand, people limit themselves from setting up chairs. And I think that what we want to do is say to people, there is a calling, and maybe you should be sending 75% of the time in your calling. So in other words, it's not just chairs. Right. But I think we should be spending 25% of our stuff that isn't in our calling, you know, meaning it's just good for us to have a service that, you know, your security in your church sometimes. I don't think that's your calling, Gary, but it's a great service for the church. And it is. And I think it's good for people to have a service that's outside your calling, stretches them.
Yeah, I think that's a really important distinction is not the word, but clarity. There is our calling, right? What God has uniquely given us to do for others. And we are to do that. But there's just service. There's just serving others. You know, setting up chairs, bringing a meal over, you know, holding a door open, greeting people at a church, you know, and that's a service. And we already
do that. And it might
be
more related to their calling.
Right,
the person who's greeting might be more that might be closer to their calling, but it doesn't encapsulate their calling.
Exactly. What I was going to say was our most powerful service is when we are operating within our calling. Because our calling should be serving people, right? The God-given effect of our life should serve people. And that's the most powerful
life
way.
To those.
Right. Yeah, but there are other ways. So if, for instance, if I was going to give a sermon next Sunday and I was asked, you know, hey, would you come in and help us clean the church and set up chairs and all this? And I was realizing I really need to spend time on putting the sermon together because that's how I'm going to serve people. Then that may not in that instance be the best use of my time because it's taken away from what I'm going to do most powerfully. Now, I don't do that all the time. So other times I'm like, absolutely, I'm there. I may have to say, no, actually, the one thing I have to do is this, which means I can't come at this moment. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I like the idea. There's serving and then there's calling. They're not necessarily different, but we most powerfully serve when it's inside of our calling, but there are many things outside of that.
So again, you've got me on it. I completely agree with what you're saying. And I think there is a power in sometimes operating outside our calling, setting up chairs. I also think that an obstacle sometimes to calling in community is some of us feel like, I think the community should help us discover our calling. But I think we'll often think that the organization should then give us a position based on our calling. You know, and so they're sort of saying, well, since you said I'm X, you need to give me a title called X, you know, and I don't think that's true. I know that part of my calling is meeting people one-on-one, just talking, more listening to them, I think. And my church didn't have a position for me doing that, but I just started doing it. I started reaching out to guys and inviting them out to lunch and we met. I had no title. The elders didn't know, even though I was an elder, they didn't know that I was doing this. It was part of what I did. I was living out my calling without that title. And I think that's, we have to say, God is going to give us a joy for walking in our calling, not for our title. And therefore, if we understand our calling, we can do it. We can bring it wherever we are, even if we don't have the title or the official position that goes along with it.
Yeah, absolutely true. I think so. So Sam, I think, you know, from our experience over the years, most people that we have met, their probably greatest dilemma is they can't articulate what their calling is, the God-given effect of their life, their God-given compelling, their unique way of seeing, perceiving, hearing, doing. That's really where they're stuck. And I think what we want to say is, that's probably most powerfully revealed and defined and developed inside of a community of people who are committed to doing this with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, one more quote from Crabb. I thought this was so good. I really like his latest writings as he turned his attention on, you know, how are people in the church helping each other? But he said, a spiritual community, a church, is full of broken people who turn their chairs towards each other because they know they cannot make it alone. These broken people journey together with their wounds and worries and washouts visible. But they're able to see beyond the brokenness to something alive and good, something made whole. And I just thought, that's the community I want, you know, where someone is looking for who I really am. And at the same time, they're also helping me believing that I want to get over those things that are in my way, the things I'm struggling with. I love his words about wounds, worries, and washouts. You know, we just need this. We just need this. There's just no, you know, going it alone, developing it alone, exercising it alone.
You know, if you think of, I love the quote. And if you think about the most close-knit community any of us ever experience, it's probably the family. You know, and as parents, being very involved in this close-knit community, don't we want our kids to grow up and be the people God made them to be? I mean, wouldn't you say that's every, you know, even a non-believer wants them to grow up and be the person they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And so a huge part of community, even the most natural, the tight-knit community that we have, it's not just to exist, but it's to grow these kids and grow and be grown as parents. You know, I was a much better parent at 35 than I was 25. And I hope I was a better parent at 45 and 55. You know, I'm growing in part of who God has made me to be. And so, yeah, I mean, this should be the calling. This should be a church vision statement. You know, find your calling here. This is the place where you can find who you were meant to be. This is where else are we going to find it but in the body of Christ?
Yeah. So, Sam, as we wrap this up, I think what we want to say, and now I'm going to give you opportunity to add to this, of course, is that if you don't have some good friendships, a close-knit community, you need to try to build it. And I'm telling you, as Sam said, that if you said to some people that you know, hey, why don't we get together and help each other understand who we truly are, what God has given us, that we're to offer to the world, our calling, our purpose, our destiny, whatever word you want to put. How about if we get together and do that over time? I don't know of anybody that would say no to that. I think you could create a community very quickly that way. And if you do have a group of friends, you know, but you've never gone this way, maybe just to go to them and say, hey, how about if we pursue this now? Because I know I would like to know more about who I am and what I offer to the world. And I'd love to have help of getting those things that are in the way out of the way. So I think, you know, through this, we really want to encourage you in that way.
And I would say, if you are a leader in some senses in a community, you know, in a men's group, in a prayer group, in a church, I want to encourage you to say a key part of your job as a leader in a Christian community is to help everybody find their calling. Mm. I really want to say, we say calling is partly to bring life to other people. Well, how do we bring life to other people but let them become the people they were meant to be? You know, we don't want serfs. We want to raise the poor from the dust, lift the needy from the ashes, to make them sit with princes, you know, to make them sit with the leaders of God's people. So I really want to encourage leaders to say, how can I help all the members of my community discover who God made them to be?
Yeah. So everyone, as we wrap up, let me just say that if you are on the Noble Heart email list, or you're on Beliefs of the Heart email list, we will let you know when we have a calling retreat coming up. We have none on the schedule at this point, but we'll let you know, because this is what we do. This is what you will experience, is you will experience deep community as, you know, we get together and go through these teachings and go through these exercises and give feedback to each other. It really is just a very quick but a deep taste of what this is. And, you know, you will have the tools to be able to go back and say, I want to develop this with other people. So, hey, thank you for joining us. And we hope to see you in the next podcast.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Please join us by following this podcast or liking it. And visit our websites, thenobleheart.com and beliefsoftheheart.com, for more resources in living the eternal life with God today. You'll find articles, videos, and online classes. See you next week.